welcome to the Roto Report, and I'm joined today by Indians beat reporter Chris Ostenheimer from the Chronicle-Telegram. And Chris, the Indians making some news on home opening day, signing Jason Kipnis to a big-time contract. So that means Kipnis, Brantley, and Gomes as they get them locked up before the season starts. How surprised are you by what they did, or did you expect this?
I mean, it's a little bit surprising. I mean, you hear all the time from fans, and pretty much the perception around the league is that the Indians are unwilling to spend. And here they have these three deals that they've done since spring training. And then you throw in the Swisher and the Bourne contracts, two of the most lucrative free agent contracts in Indians history. And yeah, I think that the perception is starting to change. That's what everybody's been talking about, is that, you know, okay, the payroll is still, you know, one of the lowest in baseball, but they've shown, you know, a willingness to sign their key guys, kind of like back in the 90s under John Hart, you know, locking up their young guys to long-term deals. And then, you know, that's $204 million, I think. And so they are spending money. It's just maybe not at the rate of the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Do you look at this as they had a plan, Mark Shapiro, Chris Antonetti, that they wanted to lock things up the middle? Because you have Gomes, you have Kipnis, you have Brantley, who can play center field, but Bourne also in center field, and you've got down on the farm Francisco Lindor, who they control for the next 6 to 8 years as well. Was this part of the plan to make sure that they were solid up the middle? Because that kind of reminds you of those old teams that you mentioned about in the 90s.
Right, right. Yeah, I do think that they did have a plan, that they, you know, they know their resources. They can't spend like the big spenders in the majors, so they have to go a different route. And I do think that was the plan, you know, get these young guys who you identify as core players moving forward, sign them, lock them up, and then, you know, worry about 4 or 5 years from now whether you can sign them again.
Chris Ostenheimer is our guest from the Chronicle-Telegram. We're taking a look at the Cleveland Indians as they begin the 2014 season, signing some players to long-term contracts. Does this mean, with the signing of Gomes, Brantley, and Kipnis, and the two that you mentioned from last year, and Swisher and Bourne, does this mean they're not going to pay Masterson what he's asking for? Did they take that money and spend it on these guys, or do you think there's still a chance that Justin Masterson could get signed to a long-term deal with the Tribe?
Yeah, I'm sure he's sitting there thinking, okay, I offered up this hometown discount, you know, I was the first guy to come up with that, and yet you're signing all these other guys instead of me. I don't know that it spells the end, but it's certainly not a good sign when they're throwing all sorts of money at other players. And I mean, they're going to need a lot of money to sign him. I don't think that discount's on the table anymore.
Right.
You know, whatever happens with this season, if he pitches very well, I mean, he's going to get a big offer somewhere. And I think that they feel like, you know, that they're all right to lose him. They don't want to lose Justin Masterson. I mean, he's their best starting pitcher. But I think that they're covered in that ace. I think that they feel like Danny Salazar is that up-and-coming guy, and I think they'd rather spend money on that. Now, Masterson, I mean, could they get some deal for, you know, maybe a 2-3 years, possibly at the end of the season? But it doesn't look like it's a good sign with all these other guys getting signed.
How much did the Indians get screwed because of what Homer Bailey got in Cincinnati as they were approaching maybe a signing with Masterson, and then that deal comes down in Cincinnati?
Right, yeah, that definitely played a factor. But then you thought when Masterson went with, you know, the shorter years and the deal, right, less money, you thought it wouldn't matter, but really it's in direct response to that, because they are using that as gauge whether he wanted to take less or not. They're looking at a guy named Homer Bailey, who hasn't established himself yet. Masterson kind of has, and it was a little surprising to see. I mean, this is a guy who's been kind of their face of the franchise the last 2 or 3 years, and to just, you know, it looks bad for the player. He's a great guy. I don't think he takes that into the clubhouse and
right,
holds any ill will towards other guys. But still, you got to be sitting there thinking, you know, I've performed for them. I became a starting pitcher here. I go with the hometown discount, and they still say that it's too much. I mean, I don't think he'll be back, but it would be a shame to see him leave.
Here's the thing, as I look at it, I don't have a problem with the way the Indians have handled Justin Masterson. Everyday players, you get more bang for your buck with everyday players as opposed to a guy once every 5 days. And we've seen how many pitchers, after signing big-time contracts, come down with an injury, and then you're stuck with them, and you may not get the 4 years out of them. You may only get two. So I really don't have a problem with the way that Shapiro and Antonetti have approached this with the pitchers. because, as you mentioned, Salazar is the future in their eyes. You hope that Trevor Bauer figures things out at AAA and is up here sooner rather than later. Carlos Carrasco, they're counting on all these young arms, aren't they, coming through and hoping that they will be able maybe to replace a Masterson.
Yes, definitely. And I can see both sides. I mean, I don't have a huge problem with the Indians not anteing up for Masterson, and I also I can see how he would take right. it the wrong way. I mean, I get both things, but I don't think he's viewed as a true ace. I mean, I don't think he is a true ace, in my opinion. Salazar has the opportunity to be a true ace.
Right.
Those other young guys that you were talking about, yeah. I mean, they're hoping those guys come up, and if they're going to spend money, which if they could spend willy-nilly, then Masterson would already be signed.
Sure.
But they can't, so you're right. They've taken shots at position players, and those are more important to you. But pitching wins, and it would be really nice to have that stud atop the rotation. And Nick Swisher said something that I thought was very telling today. He said, with all these deals that you're seeing, this could be a place where a stud starting pitcher could come. And I'm thinking to myself, well, don't you already have one of those? I mean,
right.
But I think that even a teammate, you know, really doesn't view Masterson as that Verlander type of pitcher. And it's true. He is one of he's certainly a quality starter. I think number 2-3 starter on a championship club.
All right. This team, can they duplicate what they did last year with what the Tigers did in the offseason, the trades and the moves that they made, the Indians signing these young guys to long-term deals, maybe taking some of the pressure off of them? Can this team duplicate what they did last year, and do you see them at least battling into late September for a playoff spot?
I do think they can duplicate it, and I do see them. I actually have picked them to win the division. I think.
Wow.
I think the fielder thing is going to hurt Detroit, and I also think losing Joaquin Benoit is going to hurt Detroit. The Indians, it's all going to come down. I mean, yes, they have Salazar, Masterson, Kluber, McAllister, guys they think are going to be good in the future, but it's going to come down to that rotation, and you have to look at it. All of those guys outside of Masterson are pretty much inexperienced. So.
Yeah, so we'll see. It comes down to starting pitching every year, and Masterson, if he wants to get paid the big bucks, the way he has to approach it is, right, you know what, I'm going to go out and have my best year ever, and it may not be here that I get paid, but somewhere else because of my numbers.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's in his head. You know, he's not a type of guy who, like I said, is going to have ill will towards the other guys getting the money, but I think he understands that, okay, well, if they're not going to give me this, then I have to go out and earn this, and I think that he most likely will.
All right, Chris Ostenheimer, where can people read you and follow you on all the different social media sides of things?
Well, Chronicle Telegram, obviously, daily, and at Twitter, at C. Ostenheimer. That's awesome, not Ostenheimer, and Facebook, too.
Well done, Chris. We appreciate the time. Good luck this season covering the Tribe.
No problem. Thanks, real man.
There's your Roto Report with Chris Ostenheimer talking Tribe baseball here as we get ready for the 2014 home opener here at Progressive Field. Until next time, C-Town, keep it real.